Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:12. It says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Okay, the believer in Christ and persecution. Now we've been looking at the subject of persecution. Now so far we've defined persecution. We saw from both the Greek and Hebrew text that persecution entails a physical and literal torment that chases one, puts him to flight. It could also be non-physical, internal, emotional suffering, pain, distress, and hardship. And we said that all of this happened for the Lord's sake. So it's not persecution to just suffer. It's only persecution when it occurs for the faith. Okay, then we examined the biblical revelation on persecution from the Old Testament. We said God's people have suffered for their faith right from the Old Testament. We saw several examples of that. And also in the four Gospels, in the life and teachings of Jesus. And then the book of Acts, we saw how that the early Christians suffered for their faith. Now, in the last service, we began a study on persecution in the epistles, beginning with Paul's epistles, the Pauline epistles. We saw how that Paul endured trials for the sake of Christ. You know, Paul died a happy man, and knowing that he had finished all that he was supposed to do. So today, we pick up from where we left off on the believer in persecution, still looking at the epistles. Now, hopefully, we can wrap this up today. So, subheading here, persecution in Peter. Okay, so we've seen Paul. I want to see what does Peter have to say concerning persecution. Okay, so persecution in Peter. Now, Peter speaks of fiery trial in 1 Peter 1. Now, 1 Peter was written at a time when the church faced great persecution in Asia Minor, the north of Thrace. T-A-U-R-U-S. Okay, now Peter begins his epistle this way. 1 Peter 1:1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the pilgrims, underlying pilgrims, of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. In this you greatly rejoice. Verse 6 of that same chapter. Though on for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, underline that, from you the trials, that the genuineness of your faith, underline that, from that to faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, underline that, it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now these persecuted Christians are admonished by Peter to persevere. 1 Peter 2 verse 11. It says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners, underline sojourners, and pilgrims, underline pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now the words sojourners and pilgrims have a dual application. Now number one here, a literal application. So they were literally pilgrims on the run, okay, because of persecution. So the saints couldn't settle down because they were usually on it. Okay, therefore, they were pilgrims and sojourners on the earth. Do you follow that? Now, secondly here, a figurative application. Now, figuratively, Christians are pilgrims on the earth. This world is not our own. That's what that means. We are merely passing through. Jesus the Christ says in John chapter 15, verse 19, he says, "You're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world." So in this sense, Christians are strangers or foreigners on the earth. Being pilgrims means that we are separate from this world. Our lives must differ from those of this world. Our good conduct most times, you see, attracts sinners to be saved. You see that a Christian who lives rightly can be accused by unbelievers. Peter says that. 1 Peter 3 verse 14. He says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake," underline that, suffer for righteousness' sake, "you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." Verse 16 of that same chapter, he says, "having a good conscience," underline that, "that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed," underline that, "may be ashamed, for it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good," underline that, "for doing good, than for doing evil." Now, to suffer for doing good is persecution for Christ's sake. So, if you live rightly, the only thing unbelievers can accuse you of is being too good. Think about that. So, Peter is saying here that live in such a manner that unbelievers can trap you. Peter also teaches Christians to rejoice when facing trials. 1 Peter 4, 12-19. It says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice," underline that, "rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings," underline that, "partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached," underline that, "reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you," underline that, "blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part is blasphemed," underline blasphemed, "but on your part is glorified," underline that, glorified. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian," underline that, "suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God," underline that, "glorify God in this matter." So he says persecution is a thing of joy, not sadness. Peter says glorify God when you suffer as a Christian, and that is for your faith. And verse 17 continues. He says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Now the judgment here refers to the trials we face. Okay? Verse 18 says, "Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear?" That is, believers can be allowed to be persecuted in this manner. How much more will the unsaved be punished at the end of the age? And we explain this in God Owns the World Part 4, so you can get it for that in detail. And verse 19, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God," underline that, "from suffer to God, commit their souls to him in doing good," underline that, "doing good as to a faithful cradle." Again, suffering according to the will of God is not diseases, sicknesses, or accidents. In context, it's persecution for the sake of the gospel. Now, that's the only suffering that God permits for the Christian. Then Peter explains that persecution is actually an operation of the devil. 1 Peter 5 verse 6. Okay, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." Number 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Underline that, "from lack to devour." Now, in context, he roars through persecutions. Okay, he seeks to destroy the saints. Well, see what Peter says, verse 9, "Resist him, steadfast in the faith." Underline "resist him," knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, the word "resist" is from the Greek anthistemi, A-N-T-H-I-S-T-E-M-I, the E after T, accentuated. Now, interesting, it simply means to continue saying what you believe. That's that word. Irrespective of opposition, it means to establish one's position publicly by conspicuously holding one's ground, that is, refusing to be moved or pushed back. This word simply means to forcefully declare one's personal conviction without swerving or giving up. That is, don't allow persecutions make you renounce the faith. That's what Peter means here. Resist him. That is, continue to forcefully declare your convictions. He says, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So be unmovable in the faith, what you believe. Persecutions are not strange to the saints. We expect them as we go about preaching Christ. And finally, verse 10, it says, but may the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, underline that, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So persecution leaves us better. Okay? The end of persecution is strength. You become a better Christian. You build more staying power or perseverance. Now next here. Persecution in Hebrews. Okay? Persecution in the book of Hebrews. And the writer of Hebrews writes to Jewish Christians who were almost backslidden because of persecution from fellow Jews. Now these were saved Jews considering going back to Judaism. Okay? So the writer of Hebrews encourages them. Hebrews 10 verse 32. Let's see that quickly. It says, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering. So learn that, from you to sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle. Underline that. You were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations. Underline that, from by to tribulations. And partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. Underline that. Were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains. Underline that. In my chains. Accepted the plundering of your goods. Underline that. The plundering of your goods. Knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession. Underline that. An enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Underline in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Underline that. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Underline that. Great reward. Okay. For you have need of endurance. Underline that. So that after you have done the will of God. Underline from after to God. You may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. For we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So he implores these Jewish Christians to persevere, to endure for Christ. He says similarly in Hebrews chapter 12. Now here he uses Jesus as an example of suffering. Verse 3 of that same chapter, Hebrews 12. It says, for consider him, that is Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. That is, Jesus endured till he died. Bloodshed. Okay? Now, you have not gotten to that point yet. So, don't be weary and discouraged. So, he's saying here that if you're complaining, what then would Jesus say? Who was killed? Okay, so that's the point here. So now, next bullet point here, quickly. Persecution in James. Okay, in James. Now, James also wrote to Jewish Christians who suffered persecution. James 1:1. It says, James, a born servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Underline that, which are scattered abroad, greetings. Now, the 12 tribes are Jewish expatriates, forced out of their land because of persecution. Now, James, like Peter, explains that persecution is to make us better Christians. James 1:2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Underline that. When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Underline that. Produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work. Underline that. Perfect work. That you may be perfect. Underline that. From that to perfect. Teleios in the Greek. T-E-L-E-I-O-S. Meaning full grown. And complete. Holokleros. H-O-L-O-K-L-E-R-O-S. The E after L accentuated. Okay. After K. Which means all. Complete in every part. lacking nothing. So at the end of persecution, you find a whole believer, hallelujah, one whose faith has been tried and tested as genuine. Now in chapter 5, James emphasizes again the need for patience. James 5:7. It says, therefore be patient, underline that, be patient, now in tribulation, in persecution, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, underline that, you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets. Now look at this. Who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Underline that. As an example of suffering and patience. Now we've seen some of these examples in this teaching. Daniel, who was thrown into the lion's den. Elijah, who was hunted down, remember that, by Jezebel and had to flee. Urijah, who was slain by the sword. He ran to Egypt, he was brought back, then he was killed. Now verse 11 also gives the example of Job. Okay, verse 11 of that same chapter. It says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job, but allow that. The perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. That the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So, just like Job patiently waited through trial and tribulation, we are to do likewise. You see that Job received God's blessing afterwards. Now next here, persecution in the book of Revelation. Okay, in the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation was written by a persecuted apostle. Isn't that interesting? John had been banished, remember that, to the island of Patmos when he wrote Revelation. Revelation 1:9. It says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation, in kingdom, in patience of Jesus Christ. So he faced the same tribulation that other Christians faced. That's what that means. Your brother and companion in tribulation. Do you see that? Remember, persecution is common. Remember we said that, right? To us. Okay, now it says, was on the island that is called Patmos. Why? For the word of God. Underline that. For the word of God. And for the testimony of Jesus. Underline that. For the testimony of Jesus. Simply put, the gospel. Okay, so he had been banished for his faith. John was first of all thrown into odd awe. We said that, right? Okay. Now, the book of Revelation addresses persecution that several churches in Asia Minor had been experiencing. Jesus actually writes to those churches in chapters 2 and 3 of that same book. Now, let's see, first of all, Smyrna. S-M-Y-R-N-A. Now, the church at Smyrna suffered tribulation, poverty, and imprisonment for the faith. Revelation 2:9-10. It says, I know your works. Tribulation, underline that. Tribulation and poverty, underline that. Poverty, but you're rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer, underline that. Which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, on the line from through to tested, okay, and you will have tribulation 10 days, on the line from you to days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now we know from church history that Smyrna faced tremendous persecution at the hands of the Jewish people. Now the bishop of that church was called Polycarp, P-O-L-Y-C-A-R-P, okay, P-O-L-Y-C-A-R-P. And Polycarp was burned at the stake. Interestingly, the Jewish people helped to carry the firewood. Do you hear that? That was used to burn him. Now, initially, they wanted him to be fed to lions. Okay, but when that was refused, they said, okay, burn him at the stake. They went to gather firewood, okay, to burn him. So, the Jews at Smyrna persecuted the church there. And the Jews at Smyrna also derogatorily called Jesus the Hanged One. Okay, so they insulted Jesus. They would call him the Hanged One. Okay, an insult. But Jesus promises a crown of life to all who endure persecution at Smyrna. Hallelujah. Next here, Pergamos. Now, Pergamos, interestingly, is described as where Satan operated from at that time. It was a seed of wickedness. Revelation 2 verse 13. It says, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Underline that. Where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you. Underline that. Who was killed among you where Satan dwells. And we are told about this Antipas that he was roasted alive on a bronze bull. He died giving thanks. Hallelujah. Okay. Now next here, the churches at Ephesus and Thyatira. Now these churches are commended for their patience. Okay. Which indicates that they probably faced persecution also. You may see Revelation 2:3, Revelation 2 verse 19 for that. Now next, Philadelphia. Okay, now this church stood their ground for the Lord in spite of pressure to compromise. Revelation 3 verse 8, it says, I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. I've kept my word. Underline that. I've kept my word and I've not denied my faith. Underline that. I've not denied my faith. Jesus also warns them, the church at Philadelphia, of coming trials. Verse 10 of that same chapter, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. Underline that. The hour of trial which shall come upon the whole earth to test those who dwell on the earth. So, in Jesus' seven letters to the seven churches, we find encouragement. Do you see that? To churches suffering for the faith. Now, throughout the book of Revelation, we also find imageries of persecution used. Revelation 6 describes the souls of martyrs crying out for justice. Verses 9 to 11 of that same chapter. Revelation 6, you find that there. In Revelation 20, John talks about those who had been beheaded for preaching Christ. Verse 4 of that same chapter. Now, beheading in ancient times was an honorary death. Think about that. A death of honor. So it was reserved for Roman citizens. Do you follow that? So the saints here were Romans who were killed for their faith. Okay? And John also speaks of how the rulers of the earth had become drunk with the blood of the saints. That is, they had killed so many of them. You may see Revelation 16 verse 6, 17 6, 18 24, and Revelation 19 verse 2 for that. So it is clear that persecution was common to the early Christians. Do you see that so far? Okay, and it doesn't stop today. Christians are still being persecuted today. Now let's see, what should Christians do when faced with persecution? A new subheading for you here. What should Christians do when faced with persecution? Number one, stand your ground. Hallelujah. Stand your ground. Okay, in cases where Christians were persecuted in the book of Acts, you see that they remained joyful and they never denied their faith. Okay, so never deny the Lord. You may see Acts 4, 1 to 22, Acts 5, 27 to 42 for that. Sometimes your doggedness in the face of trial will inspire others to be saved. Now we know from church history that martyrs were very calm, usually, when they were killed for Jesus. Okay, they were thrown into the fire most times. Sometimes they were thrown, you know, into an arena with lions. And they were usually very calm and joyful. And that calmness many times convicted onlookers. Do you follow that? Their calmness many times convicted onlookers and they too believed. So onlookers saw how calm they were when they were thrown into an arena with lions, okay, or burnt at the stake. And then, you know, they thought to themselves, how can someone be this calm in death? Do you follow that? They must have been assured about something. I too want the same assurance, so they too received Christ. Hallelujah. Do you follow that? Jesus already told us not to fear physical death. Matthew 10 verse 28. Matthew 10 verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Peter admonishes us not to be ashamed when we suffer as Christians. 1 Peter 4 verse 16. In Acts 20 verse 24, Paul says, none of these things move me. Now he was referring to tribulations. Hallelujah. Revelation 12 verse 11 says of the saints that they did not love their lives to the death. Okay, so you are to stand your ground in the face of persecution. Don't be a believer that is easily wearied out by trials. Endure persecution. Is that understood? Endure persecution. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 12 says, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. The word endure here, an echo in the Greek, means to bear up with. Okay, to hold up under, to tolerate. So don't bow to pressure. Stand your ground. Now, number two here. Sometimes you can find a means of escape. Okay? It's not always God's will that Christians stay where they are being persecuted. Sometimes God's will is that you run. Okay? Jesus himself gave this advice to run in Matthew chapter 10, verse 23. Let's see that quickly. Matthew 10, verse 23. It says, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. Underline that. Flee to another. That is Shiloh. Amen. For surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Now, it is not a lack of spirituality. Do you follow that? Or cowardice to flee from persecution. Sometimes it is common sense. You see that Jesus himself, our Lord, amen, sometimes ran when he was threatened violently. See Matthew 4 verse 12. Matthew 4 12. It says, but when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. Underline that. He departed to Galilee. So what happened here? Jesus heard that John was arrested. You follow that? And what does he do? He moved far away from that region. Do you see that? Lest he too be arrested. Come on. So he couldn't do ministry in jail. Jesus knows that. You can't do ministry well in jail. Okay, so he ran away from that place. In Luke chapter 4, he escapes narrowly. Luke 4 verse 28. It says, so all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, underline that, passing through the midst of them, he went his way. So he passed through them, do you see that, and ran. Or else he would have died. Okay, before completing his ministry. Remember, we need you alive to preach the gospel. Do you follow that? You have no use when you are dead. And that's what Jesus meant in Matthew 10 verse 22. Now please turn there, I want you to see this. Matthew 10 verse 22. It says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Underline that. He who endures to the end will be saved. Now, he's not speaking about salvation at all. Do you follow that? Some people use this for salvation. He's not speaking about salvation at all. You can read it this way. He who avoids being killed. Do you follow that? That's endures there. Will be safe. Okay? At the end of the persecution. Can I say you follow that? Okay? He who avoids being killed or endures will be safe at the end of the persecution. That's why the next verse says, flee. Come on. You see that there? So, the saving here, contextually, is safety from persecution. Do you see that now? Not sin. Okay? So, when persecution gets too severe in a particular place, you can leave that place, okay, to where the gospel is more readily acceptable. Now, notice that you are not running away from preaching. That's a caveat here. Rather, you are going somewhere else to continue preaching. Hallelujah. Paul applied this wisdom in his own ministry, the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9, when the Jews sought to kill him, he escaped in a basket. Acts 9 verse 23. It says, now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. Underline that. The Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to him, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. Do you see that? In that basket was 70% of the New Testament. Do you know that? 70% of the New Testament was in that basket. If Paul did not escape, we wouldn't have Romans to Philemon today. Do you see that? In Acts chapter 14, Paul fled from Iconium when his life was in danger. Acts 14 verse 5. It says, and when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone him, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe. Underline that. And fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia and to the surrounding region, and they were preaching the gospel there. Do you see that? So they ran away to another place and continued preaching there. Okay, you see that later in the same chapter, after being stoned in Lystra, he departed the next day. Verse 19 of that same chapter, it says, then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed. Underline that. The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So he left where they almost killed him. Do you see that? Okay, so that is wisdom. So can I sometimes run during persecutions? Yes. Okay, sometimes running away is essential to do more ministry. Hallelujah. Number three, know that persecution does not last forever. That's number three. Persecution does not last forever. Know that. Okay, the hope of the early church was that persecutions would one day cease when the Lord returned. Paul says in Romans 8 verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The writer of Hebrews says similarly in Hebrews 10 verse 34. Hebrews 10 verse 34. It says, for you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven, on the land from you to heaven. Okay, so we endure till that day when the Lord would right every wrong done to us. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 6, it says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest. Underline that. To give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So don't see persecution as God being angry with you. Do you follow that? Do not see persecution as God being angry with you or pay back for some sin. Okay, you see that today Christians have been taught that all suffering is evil. A Christian is suffering for his faith and he says, Satan is attacking me. This must be evil. Not necessarily so. It's actually an honor. Hallelujah. Okay, an honor to suffer for Christ. Philippians 1 verse 29. Okay, let's see that quickly. Philippians 1 verse 29. It says, for to you it has been granted, underline that, it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now the word granted, it translates the Greek charizomai. C-H-A-R-I-Z-O-M-A-I. It means to show favor. Very strange. To show favor. So Paul is saying here that to suffer for Christ is God's favor to us. Do you see that? Literally, it's a gift of grace, the Greek says, to suffer for the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. So it's a privilege, as what Paul means here, okay? Number four, walk in love. Walk in love. Jesus taught us to love our persecutors. Matthew 5 verse 44. Matthew 5, 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Underline that. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those. Underline that. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Do you see that? Underline persecute you. And someone said, Jesus says, pray for them. But he didn't say what we should pray for. Ah. He says, love your enemies. Bless. You still don't know what to pray for? Amen. In the Greek, it literally says, pray for the betterment, amen, of those who spitefully use you and persecute you, okay? Pray for their good, amen. Paul says similarly in Romans chapter 12, verse 14. He says, bless those who persecute you. Do you see that? Echoing Jesus. Bless those who persecute you. Underline that. Bless and do not curse, amen. Number five, remain assured of God's love, that God loves you. Persecutions can sometimes make us lose sight of God's love. That happens, right? You sometimes begin to lose sight of God's love. You begin to ask questions like, does God really care? Okay, does God see all that I'm going through? Well, he does care. Amen. The Bible is clear on this. Peter says we can depend on him when facing persecution. He is faithful. 1 Peter 4 verse 19. First Peter 4, verse 9-10. It says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good, as to a faithful Creator. Underline that, from us to Creator. He is also aware of our trials. You see that Jesus told those seven churches in Asia Minor, I know, right? Revelation 2 and 3. So He knew what they were facing, hallelujah. And He was working behind the scenes, strengthening them, delivering them. Okay? So keep His love in your heart. Amen. As men insult you, as men assault you, as men persecute you for the sake of Christ. Number six here. Find like-minded company and help one another. Okay? Find like-minded company and help one another. You can't underestimate the importance of good company. Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That is, good company helps you get better. Do you follow that? As iron sharpens iron. You see that in Acts, the church understood this. They were always found together in the book of Acts. You may see Acts 2, 44 to 47, Acts 5, verse 12. So in Acts, they were not suffering individually. Do you follow that? Where you find persecution against the church in the book of Acts, they were not suffering individually. They suffered collectively, hallelujah, for Christ. You may see Acts 8, 1 to 4 for that. You see that having been persecuted, they would go back and pray together. You see Acts 4, 23 to 31 for that. Now, Paul talks about how churches were stirred up when they heard how others endured persecution. See 1 Thessalonians 2, 14 to 15, Philippians 1, verse 14. So that's the advantage of good company. Alright? In the Christian faith, we also help those who are suffering for Christ, however we can. Romans 12, verse 15. Romans 12, verse 15. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Underline that. Weep with those who weep. Would that include those who are persecuted? Yes. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26 also says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You see that the early church had the culture of visiting those who were in prison for their faith. Hebrews 13, verse 3. Hebrews 13, verse 3. It says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. So we can emulate this today. Hallelujah. Now lastly, let's see benefits of persecutions as we close. Are you following this so far? Alright, thank you. Benefits of persecutions. Are there advantages, amen, of suffering for Christ? Yes. Praise the Lord. Number one, our suffering for Christ is our witness of Christ. You follow that? Our suffering for Christ is our witness of Christ. Amen. So as we suffer for Christ, more men come to know Him. Notice how Paul says this in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1:12 as we close. Philippians 1:12. It says, but I say to you, brethren. Now look at this. That the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Underline that. From after gospel. So that it has become evident. Underline that. It has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Underline that. That my chains are in Christ. So Paul's imprisonment led to more people knowing about Christ. Do you see that there? That's what it means there. Okay, it has actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. It has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. So they would ask, why are you arrested? Do you follow that? Then what will be Paul's answer? For Christ. Are you following that? Then they will ask, who is Christ? Then it begins from there. Hallelujah. Do you follow that? So his imprisonment led to the furtherance of the gospel. Okay, Paul also talks about bearing in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 6 verse 17. Okay, it says, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember we used to use this for prayer several years ago. Okay, let no man trouble me. Isn't it for deliverance? Amen. For I bear in my body the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we used to think that Jesus gave us a special mark. Amen. So no one should trouble us. The marks here were bruises. Do you follow that? He received for preaching Christ. Do you follow that? The marks of the Lord Jesus Christ were bruises received for preaching Jesus. Do you follow that? So Paul is saying here, let no one trouble me. He's talking to those Galatian heretics. Okay, leave me alone. I have better things to focus on. Do you get it now? Okay, I'm already being persecuted. Come on, do you follow that? So let no one trouble me. That's what that means, not Satan. Amen? Let Satan not trouble me. For I bear my body the mark of Jesus. Do you follow that? Okay, so Paul walked around with scars. That's what that means, the mark of the Lord Jesus, with scars. Okay, and when he was asked, what happened to you? Why are your eyes swollen? He would say, I got this for preaching Christ. Then they will ask him, what Christ? Hallelujah. Do you follow that? Okay, then he begins from there to preach. Do you see that? So his sufferings were being used to publicize the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Do you see that now? So in our persecution, we bear witness of Christ. Okay, we are living testimonies of the Lord. I remember back in school when we were persecuted, you know, for preaching the doctrine of eternal salvation. I know they would gather themselves together and talk about us, you know, say sort of things about us. They even created a WhatsApp group, amen, for our fellowship. You know, they say sort of things, you know, but we just didn't care. We just continued preaching, you know, praying and all of that. It was now several, you know, months later that a brother came to meet me. He said, I just admire you. You know, one of them. He said, because upon everything we did to you, you never changed. Hallelujah. Okay, you just didn't care. Do you follow that? And from there, I was able to preach to him. Do you follow that? Okay, so our persecution for the sake of Christ is our witness of Christ. Praise the Lord. Another time, you know, they called us out. We went to pray. Amen. They brought us into the school. Say, you went to pray, all of you come. So it was kneel down. Amen. You know, in the public square in school. You know, and they flogged all of us. Everyone in school were looking, both juniors and seniors. Hallelujah. They flogged your pastor, amen, with cane. Praise the Lord. You know, because why? We went to pray. You know, and I felt glad. Folks ask us, why did they flog you? Say, we went to pray. Hallelujah. Good testimony. Praise the Lord. Okay? Suffering for being a Christian. Hallelujah. So number two here, rewards. The second benefit of persecution. Rewards. Okay? The saint will be rewarded, hallelujah, for suffering persecutions. It doesn't end here, amen? You will receive reward for suffering persecutions. Matthew 5 verse 12, as we begin to close gradually. Matthew 5 12, Jesus speaking here. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Underline that. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you, hallelujah. So you have a great reward in heaven, amen, when you are being persecuted. Now, rewards are sometimes called crowns in the New Testament. Okay? Crowns. You may see 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, Revelation 2:10. Now, this is a metaphor. The metaphor of a crown, borrowed from the Olympic Games in the first century. Now, you see that after the race, winners receive the crown. Okay? Called the Stephanos. S-T-E-P-H-A-N-O-S. It was a reward for their hard work. Now, this is then applied to Christianity. Do you follow that? Okay, so Christians would receive rewards, hallelujah, for staying the cause of the gospel. Now, lastly, let's see 2 Timothy 2 verse 12 as we close. Please turn your Bible here. Very important text. 2 Timothy 2 verse 12. Paul speaking here. It says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. Now look at this. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Do you see that? If we deny him, he also will deny us. And this has been used for loss of salvation. Amen. Some people have used to say that if you deny Jesus, okay, he will deny you, you know, in heaven. Not so. Pay attention. Now the word deny here means to prevent someone from having something. Do you follow that? To prevent someone from having something. Now that something is reward. Do you follow that? The believer's reward. So if the believer denies Jesus, he refuses to suffer for Christ, he will be denied. Do you follow that? Or refused of eternal rewards. Do you get it? Okay, so this is a reward verse, not a salvation verse. Do you get it now? Okay, so in persecution, the believer's life is a testimony to the world, and eventually he receives a reward from the Lord if he endures. So that concludes this teaching. Amen. Okay, as you face persecution, remember how we started, right? Persecution, trials, suffering, both physically, internally, emotionally, okay? From family members, it can come from every angle, from family, from work, okay, from friends, at school, because of your faith. Remember all that we've learned in this teaching, okay? It's an honor, praise the Lord, okay? And privilege to suffer as a Christian. Say, it's an honor and privilege to suffer for the Lord. Say, it's an honor, come on. And a privilege to suffer as a Christian for the gospel, for the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, and all be well. Amen. Okay, and you will overcome. Hallelujah. Did you learn? Give thanks, give him praise and thank him.